This is Sunday morning, 2/22/26. I put 25. Anyway, it's 26. The title of this is Overcoming Temptation. Jesus is the best one to look at that we have in scriptures. I mean, we know Paul and his perils. But Jesus was tempted of the devil. And we're going to look at all three accounts of him in the scriptures being tempted of the devil. The first one, Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just notice the devil tried to make him question that he was the Son of God, taunting him. He does the same thing to us to make us think, well, we've fallen from grace, or we've done something wrong, or we've disappointed God. Then the devil taketh him up from the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Here we go again, pride. Talking about John, the pride of life. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus didn't bring any glory to himself. The devil's trying to get it out of him. Well, yeah. God has given his angels over you if you just stump your toe. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Every one of these statements is tempting Jesus to speak out of turn or act out of turn. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. All right, let's go to Mark 1. Starting with verse 9 there. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. There came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Doesn't give any specifics, but that's just one other account. Last one is Luke chapter 4. The devil's very subtle to try to steal your words and anything else. Luke 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. So he's not tempting him when he's strong. He's tempting him after he has gone without food or water for 40 days. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In other words, I don't need food. I need the word of God. That's what he's saying here. That's what is sustaining me. Because he's been not eating, not drinking either for 40 days. Just imagine how weak he probably was. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. Did he have it? Yes, he did. And the glory, the god of this world, stole it. And the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. He's not using any new tactics here. Never has, never will. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. All that's coming out about the elites and all the stuff that they've done, they were all enticed to the devil, just like Jesus, just like this. He said, I'll give you the whole world, but you're going to have to do what I ask of you. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, here we go again, try to put doubt. God don't love me no more. No, God's never stopped. God is constant. He never changes. He still feels the same about you as he always has. He sent Jesus. Isn't that proof? And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Prove it. Prove it. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When you give the devil your word, you've tempted God. Isn't that the context here? And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. But it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He successfully passed the test. Tempted right here means to test. And from, that was 3985, 3984 says, through the idea of piercing, to scrutinize, entice, discipline, or a trial. Even Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, had to be tempted of the devil for God to trust him. He was the Son of Man. He was born of a woman. So the man part of Jesus had to be tempted. Okay, Hebrews 12. Okay, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? We call that a bad parent, or used to be, that didn't chasten their children, couldn't take them out in public, take them to somebody's house, they're like a bunch of house apes hanging from the whatever. No, You look at the parents like, you're doing that child a disservice. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them a reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? See, this is what God allows us to go through is for our good. Because the Lord knows. He knows what's in man. Jesus didn't trust himself to man because he knew what was in man. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, those that see it through. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down on the feeble knees. God is doing us a favor, like it or not. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. We ought to be glad that he counts us worthy to even be in this position, so he can trust us with his higher things. Do you know many people in the body of Christ today that are walking in the higher things? I don't know any personally, except myself and my husband. If you have completely sold out to God's plan for your life, you're going to go through this testing. It's inevitable. There's no fixing it. You can't fix it. It's fixed. God's the fixer, and he's fixed it. Kind of like Job. There's no way out of it. Well, yeah, you could bail out. You could run away. You could be a John Mark or whatever. And we've all done that. Right here, temptation. This is 3986 in the Strong's. A proof by experiment of good experience or of evil solicitation, discipline or provocation. So it's a disciplining process. Sooner or later, if you have submitted to God, you will eventually know the trouble that all that went before you have seen. Let's go read the Faith Hall of Fame. As in the account of Jesus, Satan is the tempter. God does not tempt anyone. Jesus knows the trouble you've seen, and he is there to help. Hebrews 2, this is verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Yes, I looked it up. It means aid or relieve. Succor. Aid or relieve. Let's go on to chapter 4 there, verses 14, 15, and 16. Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You know, in the world they esteem the Army Rangers and the Green Berets and the Navy SEALs, and there's other groups, you know, they're highly esteemed, but they go through a process like this before they are completed with their training and they go to work. They are. They're very highly esteemed. How much more so than the elites? I'm teaching a TV series about that, and I have a section called Top Gun. The best of the best of the best. That's what God is looking for. That's what God's training is all about. to bring out the best and leave the rest. But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows just the trouble you've seen. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't run his mouth like we do sometimes. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. I've asked the Lord many times, Lord, show mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. So, Lord, I need your mercy today. I'm not going to read the Faith Hall of Fame, but I'm going to read the ones that really didn't get their names mentioned. We know who some of them are just simply by what I'm going to read to you. This is 11, Hebrews 11. I need to go back. This is starting 32, verse 32. Well, they mentions them in 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. That means cut in two. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. The world didn't know anything about them. Very little, but heaven knew, just like today. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, not in the earthly life. God having provided something better, some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We're included with that bunch. I'm sure in heaven that list goes on and on and on and on. Lord knows. A lot of people never get to the place that we've gotten to. And if you haven't gone to this place, you are not aware of this place. And we're going to be privileged to see people that God sends enter this place. And we're going to be able to help them navigate through this place where we've had the Lord to help us. And I'm very thankful for that. But to have had someone to come alongside you that understood would mean a lot, wouldn't it? But we're going to be able to do that for other people that will be on this list, recorded in heaven. The angels record everything you do. They hear everything you say. They don't miss a thing. I don't know what scripture that is, and that just came up. They do. They hear and they see and they record everything that's done. In fact, it's in the Old Testament. It says there's a record kept and the angels record what's going on for the record. See, the devil can't take our history away from us because it's recorded. That's why you can ask the Holy Spirit about things and he'll tell you things you didn't know. I've said before, he's told me things about our family that I didn't know. Only God knew. So people shouldn't despair because they messed with our history or whatever the case may be. God knows all things. And whatever's been done, good or bad, they don't miss a thing. They got it all, and it's all on record. Because when judgment day comes, the books are opened. These are those books I'm talking about. These angels record everything. There's a scripture that says, don't provoke your angel. Yeah, I think I read that last week. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. What I'm trying to say today is, it's so easy to look at the downside. It's so easy to look at the pain and the suffering and all the difficulties. But James has a little different take on it. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I heard somebody say the other day, the Lord allowed me to lose my house and all this stuff. I'm sitting there going, God didn't take your house from you, bud. We get the masters mixed up sometimes. But every man is tempted, and he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. That's the only way that the devil could ever get anything in on you, is your own lust. Isn't that why you're being tempted? If there wasn't any of that, you would be no need to be tempted. See, that stuff has to be under control. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Isn't that under trial and temptation is when the bad stuff comes out? Kind of like silver being purified 7 times. Lord said, well, take them down again. Take them down again. I don't know how many times I've been dipped. I feel like it's 1,000,000. But I'm sure, you know, it talks about the purifier. They dip the silver 7 times. What happens? When they come up, whatever's the dross that was in there, they skim it off. So what's left is pure. Everything in the temple that was built was pure, the purest gold, the purest silver. Everything. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Things in there that aren't good. Impurities that have to be heated, under pressure. The only way to get the impurities out of the gold or the silver is to heat up the fire, put it in the pot, let it melt down, and let the dross come to the top. Then when he hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So God's working these things out of us that would cause us to fall, cause us to stumble. Like I said, he's doing us a favor. It says he's our father, and he's chastening us as a father would chasten. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Well, Lord, let that happen to me. Teach me something. No, he's purifying you. He's allowing you to go into the fire so that he can get the dross out of you. So when he puts you to work, you don't make mistakes. You get it right. Even the Son of God had to go through this process. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. See, we've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, but just because you're born again, people that are born again and they never do anything with it, they don't get filled with the Spirit, they don't read their word, they don't pray in the Spirit, they act just like the people of the world. So this new creature process takes a while. We're learning to be the sons of God. We have to learn how. It doesn't just happen. Okay, we are like him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. I wish they were all passed away immediately, everything bad, and there was never any bad anymore. But things have to be worked out of us. Behold, all things are become new. God has reconciled us right here. It says the next verse, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. We can stand in his presence because of Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. We stand righteous before him, but he has to work on us. That's my point today. The only church that Jesus did not rebuke in Revelation was the church of Philadelphia, and that was the church of brotherly love right here. We'll just read it. This is 3. Starting verse 2. I don't think that's right. Hold on. I just wrote that down wrong. I think I want to start at 6 or 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hath kept my word, and hath not denied my name. I mean, love never fails. God is love. It's so easy to seem to get out of sorts with people. But God, for God so loved the world. That means every person in the earth was out of sorts with God. And he sent Jesus because he was out of sorts with them. He couldn't do anything until he sent his son. We're praying the Lord's Prayer over the nation and the district attorneys over the 17 counties, but we should also be praying this prayer over ourselves. This is the Lord's Prayer. And this is the scripture that the Lord brought home to me. Sometimes we think you just have to take it. But do we? Is there something we can do? Here's the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's the love walk. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Not take it and take it and take it and take it and take it. It says pray that you would deliver us from evil. I said, I'm going to start including myself in that prayer when I pray for those, the president and his team, and I pray for the DAs. Thank you, Lord, that you deliver me from evil. Love never fails. Jesus warned his disciples before they seized him to try him and crucify him. This is Luke 22. Verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. There's another one. Deliver us from evil. Lord, I pray this day I'll not enter into temptation. Instead of talking about all the trouble you've seen, start talking and praying the answer. Thank you, Lord. You've delivered me from temptation. Thank you, Lord. You've delivered me from evil. Instead of just speaking it all the time, it's just so hard, and you know, I just, you know what I'm saying? Just a bunch of junk. It's just words. It's just words that are not working. Words not helping anything. They don't improve anything. Pray instead of singing. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. It says, I wrote here, pray for the way of escape. We don't have to take it all the time and roll with the punches. This is 1 Corinthians 10:13 out of the Amplified Bible. I'm going to read it to you. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human experience, and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. Jesus resisted the devil, and what it said, he laughed. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. That's a powerful scripture right there. Talking the problem, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't help anything. Singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, is not doing anything but making it worse. Deliver us from evil. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Okay, let's keep going. James chapter 1. We can be bitter or we can be better. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Say what? When you fall into diverse temptations. Are you from planet Earth? Knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. For if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God the gift to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, not boo-hooing and squalling and bawling and saying, I just don't know what to do, and it's just so bad. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything in the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That kind of talking and things makes you unstable. It makes it worse. I ought to know firsthand. Okay, Matthew 26:41. Jesus says here in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So So our problem is our flesh, our soul. It's weak. And when it gets under pressure, it reacts. That's why we do what we do. I would rather not go through temptation. And here's an area the Lord brought up to me. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, care is a snare. The care bearer snare. And we're not to care about anything. This is 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Or be therewith content. But they that fall, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many arrows. Fight the good fight of faith, is what the subtitle here is. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. A good profession. Our words matter. And words, when you start going down that road, it'll get you right into the care bear snare. And you know about that. Peter talks about the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going. Hebrews 3. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. God did good things for them for 40 years, and they griped and complained the whole 40 years. Wherefore I was agreed with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Why were they so gripey? They were going through the fire. God was trying to get them ready, because when they got to the other side, there were giants over there waiting for them to take them out. So it's trying to get them to trust him, trying to make warriors out of them, because they were going to have to go in and possess the land. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Is God able? Yes, he is. Did he say it's coming to an end? Yes, he did. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And he goes on to talk about those that come out of Egypt. They were a sorry lot, I'll tell you for sure. And they didn't make it in but Joshua and Caleb and their families, I guess. Okay, better instead of bitter. Jesus talked of his temptation. This is Luke chapter 22. It appears Jesus had everything together. We never see any signs except when he was about to go to the cross and he was sweating great drops of blood because of the stress of and the pressure of what he was under and what he was about to do. Okay. Luke 22:28 here. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink in my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Lord, you can take it off now. I'm good. I'm ready. Yeah, right. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. That's how ready Peter was. A lot of times we think we're more ready than we are. Old Peter knew what he was talking about. Let's go over there. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now he's talking about delivering from temptation. Kind of like Paul and Silas, maybe. They were singing praises to God. But had they gotten in grump mode, I just know what I'm going to do. Nothing seems to change. They'd probably died in that stupid, stinking jail. I hope you're hearing me today, whoever listens to this. I hope I'm hearing it today, for sure. Let's keep going. To novices, they might pull a John Mark or do what he did, but don't despair. He got another chance. Later, Paul was able to use him when he matured. Okay, 1 Thessalonians. Verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Why? Because we're going against the grain of this wicked world system. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. God has supplied his armor to cover our mind and emotions, our mind, our will, and our emotions. I'm not going to read the armor of God, but we must remember not to ever take it off. This is a part of equipment that it remains on your body at all times. Okay, 1 Peter. This is chapter 5. Starting with verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I think care is the biggest snare. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, trying to find a sucker, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know why it's so strange to us? Because we've really not been around any Christians that ever got to any level of maturity. They're all just babies. We were never privileged enough to be around ministers of the gospel that were actually mature in their faith and were strong. We heard it. We heard them on a tape, maybe, but we never got to meet any. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Never forget that Satan can't just do anything. He's on a leash. And we have to understand why God is doing this. Because he's making us better. Because he knows what we got ahead. We got our own giants to face down the road. And we want to be a success. Okay.